99.5 FM, WBAI 99.5 FM New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Hapta Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 o'clock a.m. in New York City, and time for Back of the Book. Yes, right here.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Through a miasma of sweat, I think I can tell it's about 5 a.m. and you're listening to all. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. Radio WBAR New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program. You can find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. And at the top of that, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that and you'll get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 144th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in the multiverse for this past week is we have rocketed back up to the gigantic number of 125 followers on Twitter. Right after our last program, the owner of Twitter, Leon Scum, announced that he was changing the name of Twitter to something else. And then it came out that it would be changed to X. Just the letter X. Apparently, Leon Scum has a thing for the letter X. He asked on Twitter for people to send him graphics for this change, and by the end of the weekend, he had a new logo, an X, and the site is now supposed to be X instead of Twitter. No more Twitter anymore. While after a couple of days, the new logo came to replace the bluebird, the Earl. The Earl is the thing that shows you the address on the web of the whole thing. The Earl still says Twitter. Now there's just a plain black and white X to show the site. From what I've been reading, Leon Scum wants to turn that X site into something you know, that's sort of a super-duper universal application that will run everything. Yeah, megalomania does make people think along lines like that. The odds are against it becoming what he fantasizes, I think. I am also seeing some people wondering if Leon Scum might face some sort of copyright or trademark issues with his X. Some other entities may have some legal claim to infringement, and Leon Scum himself will have a hard time enforcing rights over a single letter of the alphabet. That's why when you see a lot of different companies, they'll have a word, but it will be spelled funny. It's done that way so they can trademark it. And trademarking a letter of the alphabet is difficult. The only way he could do it is it's sort of stylized, but oh boy, if that particular X shows up anywhere in any font library, he's gonna have a problem. Of course, he has enough money and lawyers to make a real fight of it either way. Some people are bailing out of Twitter over this change. I'm sticking around for the present to see what happens with it all. And, of course, we're keeping our huge number of followers, because if we left with 125 followers, well, that would be it. Twitter or X would collapse in a heap. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, August 9th, 2023 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had a local station board meeting this past Wednesday, July 26th. It was supposed to have been a special meeting with the local station board and the general manager to talk about the current situation and how to increase audience and revenue in the short term. WBAI and Pacifica are in serious, dire straits with regard to finances right now. And, well, the meeting had been set for 90 minutes. Unfortunately, some number of people on the local station board confused the meeting we were supposed to have this past Wednesday with a proposed set of meetings that we haven't even set up yet. So we had to adjust the agenda a good deal with people who wanted to change the meeting into one where all WBAI listeners and staff would participate in the meeting. Didn't matter that listeners and staff weren't there. They wanted to say, "We want the people here." You know, it's that type of mentality. So they wanted all WBAI listeners and staff to participate in this meeting. That's not what had been agreed to when the meeting had been set up, and no such things had been stated in the call of the meeting. I mean, all the listeners and all the staff didn't know the meeting was going to happen, so what the hell? So the meeting started 6 minutes late, which is not unusual, not bad at all. And then, between a person who has been causing delays early in the meetings for the past few months and some people whom I believe had ulterior motives, it wasn't until 8:10 that we got around to the general manager telling us what his big plan for raising more money was. However, the legally required public comment session had to be started at 8 o'clock. So the general manager's presentation could only last for 10 minutes. But there wasn't a full half hour of public comment, and we talked a little bit, and then a certain group of people, the name of which I can't mention on the air until October, tried to hijack the meeting and make it go on after a lot of LSB members had left. The meeting ended with the disruptors screaming and yelling at 8:35. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website isn't giving us all that much information about COVID-19 in America these days, although they're saying that total deaths in America were at 1,135,919, which means that 555 people have died of COVID-19 since our last program a week ago. So that's about 100 fewer people who died of COVID-19 this past week than had died of it in the previous week. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on, mostly. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots. When the new boosters are put out in the autumn, I'm sure we'll get those as fast as we can as well. As everybody's probably heard by now, a crane had its boom collapse this past week in Manhattan. And the boom is the part of the crane that reaches up. And the mayor said that the crane boom had grazed a residential building across the street from the construction site. That was no graze. The boom took a chunk out of that building. If anyone had been standing right by that window when it hit, they'd have been killed by that thing. The crane had been lifting 16 tons of concrete, and a fire had broken out in the crane itself, in its engine. The steel cables that move things around on the crane failed after a while due to the fire. The 16 tons of concrete, that's a lot of concrete, and the 180-foot-long boom itself went crashing to the ground rather spectacularly, and it's just lucky that nobody got killed. It wouldn't matter what you were in when that 16 tons of concrete fell from something like 400 feet or more up. By the time that thing hit, if you had been in a tank and it had been hit by 16 tons of concrete coming from that height, I think the tank would have been squished. That's quite a lot of force coming down. Now, I want to mention that last month, a part of Interstate 95 in northeast Philadelphia was shut down in both directions after a tanker truck, believed to be carrying gasoline, caught fire and crashed into an overpass, causing part of the highway to collapse. And this is really just a couple of more examples of how steel does not have to melt in order to lose strength and cause things to collapse. Some people, some years ago, had kept on complaining that steel has to melt in order to fail. I'm not aware of the 9/11 conspiracy nuts having come up with their alternate explanation regarding those two incidents where steel did not melt but fell apart under stress. I await their grand explanations. This past Wednesday, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed legislation officially banning so-called conversion therapy for LGBT plus infinity minors in the state of Michigan. This is a very good thing. I have known people, because I'm an old fart, and I was involved with the gay liberation movement a long time ago. And am I still? Well, I talk about stuff in the air. I don't think I'm not as involved as I used to be. Anyway, I used to know people who had been subjected to this kind of thing, and they were generally older than I, and they were taken, and they were brought to shrinks because our little boy is queer, and they would bring them there, and the shrink would then proceed to cure them of their homosexuality. It was pretty bad stuff. I knew people who had been psychologically tortured. I knew people who had been given electroshock therapy, so-called therapy, electroshock to try to get them to not be queer anymore. There was a thing, and this one came out in, I think, the 70s, early 70s, called the Orthner method, where they would show you pictures of guys. I forget if they were doing anything. And they would give you a shock. And then they would show you pictures of a woman or something, or a man and a woman. And they would, do something that would be nicer than a shock. And they tried to, basically that was supposed to, like Pavlov's goddamn dogs, make you not be queer anymore. Well, you know, it shows how people who call themselves doctors can go and get a lot of academic credentials and then be absolute jackasses when it comes to reality. And as I said, I knew people who had been through this, people who had attempted suicide after all of this. I knew people who knew people who had known folks who did suicide after that kind of thing. And, I mean, this was mostly people, the people I knew who had been through this had been through it in the 40s and 50s. And that was a time, oh boy, you think today is bad. It was worse then. And, of course, these were mostly rich people. If your parents were well off or well off enough, they could maybe afford to have you fried with electrodes and try to, you know, beat the queer out of you. However, if you weren't that well off, they probably just punched you a lot and sometimes said, do not leave. Do not ever darken my door again. So at the age of 12, the kid is told, get out, never come back. You're an abomination. Oh, that's always a good thing to do to a 12-year-old. And so this kind of thing was something I learned about from people who told me about it. And, of course, I grew up in the totally homophobic 50s and 60s. And so I knew certain attitudes towards homosexuality back then. And conversion therapy, it is bizarre that there are people who still think that this could work. It's the 21st goddamn century, and they want to go back into the Stone Ages of the 1940s and start torturing kids. The parents who try to do that to their kids, they should be arrested. They should be put in prison for doing that kind of thing to their kids. It's awful. In some other news, a guy named Matt Healy kissed his bandmate, Ross McDonald, on stage in Malaysia. And so the anti-LGBT plus infinity Malaysian government shut down the ironically named Good Vibes Festival in Kuala Lumpur that they were playing at. And, oh boy, so this some people are really PO'd at this because the whole thing was shut down because they're not gay. They're not interested in each other. They simply said, they made this short speech about, you know, how anti-LGBT plus infinity the Malaysian government is. And then they did a fast kiss, which is just a total protest to kiss. And they immediately got informed, you have to leave. You have to leave the country. So that was it. And one little side note here. Malaysia's tourism minister claimed in 2019 that the country of Malaysia, which has 34 million people in it, has no gay residents. Not one. Wow, you want to talk about delusional. Anyway, so good for you, Matt Healy and Ross McDonald, for taking a shot at the homophobic Malaysian government. Bleep them. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. As noted melodically, well, maybe anti-melodically, at the start of this radio program, we are having a heat wave. And we are doing this, we are recording this in our living room, and as a result, it's hot as hell right here, and Pickles of the North is not at all pleased with this weather, but we have a little fan to keep both of us from passing out or anything, and so if you're hearing a tiny bit of noise, that's what it is. It isn't that we're having technical difficulties, is that there's a fan blowing, but we're using cardioid microphones, And on the recorder, the amount of noise when we don't do anything, which would be the noise around everything in the room, including the fan, is well below 40 dB, which means you shouldn't be able to hear it. In fact, back in the old days when we used tape, you couldn't get something where it was, silence was at minus 40 dB. So there we go. I think you may not hear any of this at all, but if you hear it, sorry about that, but otherwise Pickles in the North is going to collapse here. So the terrible heat is still killing people and doing things throughout the Northern Hemisphere that are not good. We are currently in day 3 of a 4-day heat wave here in Greater New York. The rest of the country has been getting this extreme heat as well, and parts of Europe and China are setting records for extreme heat in their own right. The seawater around the southern part of Florida may have been showing the highest temperature of any seawater in the world for this past week or two. And that's maybe in recorded history now. We're not counting, you know, after the asteroid hit 65 million years ago. We're counting since people have been recording these things. So there you go. Wow, it's like in the 90s, one of them may have gotten up to 101 degrees Fahrenheit. That's very warm water. And so it's killing off the coral. It's doing things to the fish and other creatures that live there. And one of the issues here is coral grows in a certain area. It requires a certain temperature. And for instance, we don't have coral in New York Harbor because it's too cold. We get winters. Well, at least we did. And so the coral can't really grow there very well. And so we don't have any of that. Now, the temperature is rising and it's too hot for the coral down there now because the coral has a range where it can live in. It can't move. You know, it's stuck in wherever it anchors itself to. And so you have a large ecosystem that forms around coral reefs. And if the coral reefs go bad rapidly, the creatures that live there, they have to move on or just drop dead. And they can't go very far north because we haven't been warm enough yet for long enough yet to build coral reefs. So what happens to those fish and other creatures that live there? Well, I don't know. I think they end up dying off because if they just move north to where they can stand the temperatures, they may not be able to go far because the coral doesn't go up to New York, certainly. One day maybe, but not yet. In any event, I am always cautious about saying that certain weather-related events are definitely being caused by global warming and climate change because any one weather event could be happening without climate change. Weather from one day to the next can be wacky. You can get a very warm, relatively warm day in the middle of winter. You can get some pretty cool days in the summer. In fact, there is a phenomenon called the midwinter thaw, which around February-ish in some years, you end up with, oh boy, it might be icy and snowy everywhere, and then for a few days or a week or so, it's suddenly 60 or 70 degrees Fahrenheit, and you can walk around with your shirt off and you say, wow, this is really amazing. This is warmer than most spring days are. And then the winter comes back. That's just a thing that happens, and it doesn't mean it's going to be permanently like that. And so that's the kind of thing that can happen, and that's part of why I'm cautious about saying this event is caused by global warming. but it sure does look like this heat is the result of anthropogenic warming of the earth. That means we're doing it. And the Washington Post ran a story this past week about a coalition of scientists called the World Weather Attribution Network, saying that the heat waves in the United States, Europe, and China were, quote, virtually impossible, unquote, without climate change boosting them. The group examined weather data and computer model simulations and found that the world is about 2.2 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than it was in the late 19th century, which doesn't sound like a ton, but the fact is little amounts of temperature change like that can mean a lot. And it's hard to convince people 2.2 degrees is an important thing, but oh well, I guess we're going to be convincing them somehow soon. In any event, so we're 2.2 degrees warmer than in the late 19th century. And in talking about the current heat waves around the world, the co-leader of the World Weather Attribution Network, who is a climate scientist at Imperial College London, a guy named Frederick Otto, said, quote, "They are not rare in today's climate," unquote. And, quote, "What surprises me is that people are so surprised. It is exactly what we expected to see," unquote. That study found that the heat waves in the American Southwest and Southern Europe would have almost no chance of happening in a world without climate change. They said that the heat wave in the so-called People's Republic of China was made about 50 times more likely because of global warming, and that the European and North American heat waves were made at least 1,000 times more likely by global warming. So we are seeing some of the consequences of global warming that had been predicted about all of this stuff actually happening. It's actually happening now. But some of these consequences are happening decades sooner than had been predicted. And there are certain to be consequences from the global warming that no one had thought of. Huge and complex systems like the atmosphere and the hydrosphere of a planet are inherently difficult to predict in detail. And at that level of complexity, it is actually impossible to tell exactly what will happen and when. Part of this relates to a mathematical discipline that has an unfortunate name. It's called chaos theory. And basically, it says in a very complex system, you cannot predict very far out. You can predict a little ways out, but the details are always creeping in from the edges, and you can't really predict that far out. It's the reason why the dwarf planet Pluto, you can't predict where it's going to be 850 million years from now. Because even though that's in a lockstep with nothing bothering it, nothing blocking it, and gravity being gravity, not changing, it still ends up not being predictable in the far, far future because things become unpredictable. I believe this is due to the quantum foam that we live in, which we've talked about before, where things at the subatomic level are going on all the time. And even though they're so teeny weeny, they have an effect on things after a while. And yeah, that's why I think you can't predict things that well that far in advance. 2023 may well be remembered as the year the accumulated consequences of global warming began to get very serious, and we may end up seeing some catastrophes that no one had envisaged impacting the lives of billions of people.
And we're already seeing a lot of that kind of thing happening.
It's yeah,
just
early.
The degree may get even worse. Droughts and fires and floods and heat waves.
and the consequences of those things. I mean, yeah. Nobody would have thought, hey, a significant portion of the people from Central and South America who are showing up the U.S. border trying to get in are coming in because their crops have failed, because it's already too warm where they've been living for centuries to grow the food that they grow. And so they're starving to death and they're coming up here. Who would have predicted that? I don't think anybody did.
I think you are right, Arpal. If they did, no one listened to them. One of our failings as humans. We don't listen to ourselves.
And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org.
Well, to bring this to a tiny, tiny point, a home point, we don't have air conditioning. We have fans. We have a smaller carbon footprint, I would think. We use public transportation. Of course, neither of us knows how to drive, but anyway. But the other day, just before the heat wave began, it was quite still a hot day with lower humidity, but still quite high temperature. All of a sudden, we start hearing this clanging and banging. And it's like, oh no, no, this can't be happening. The heat is coming on.
The landlord sends up the heat on, what was it, July 26th.
The heat is coming on. It's like, this, what, why? Why is this happening? And you thought perhaps they were testing something.
Maybe an inspector or something.
Or it was a mistake.
Yeah, maybe somebody accidentally backed into the illegal clock they have attached to the boiler. Oh, did I mention an illegality in the building we live in? Ooh. And which we also know that one year we didn't get a lot of heat in the winter. And then in May, going into June, the heat came on every day. Yeah. And the reason was the price of the fuel had dropped.
Yeah.
And that way the landlord could show that, oh, look, see how much money we spent on fuel.
Yes.
We must be heating them up properly. But he spent less money doing it, and doing it at a time when it was oppressive to do it.
Well, this week it stayed on about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. It was a full, like, steamy heat session.
It was hot, that radiator.
It was hot, and it stayed hot for quite a long time afterwards.
Well, part of the reason for that is it was hot in the room.
Oh, boy.
In the winter, of course, it radiates out, and it cools down fast. When it's hot in the room, summer hot in the room, the radiator, it can't get it out there. Second law of thermodynamics applies.
Well, that was a pretty, pretty awful day, but actually not as awful as it is right now. And I hope wherever you are, you're managing to stay cool. We have an exhaust fan, and we run that thing a little before the sun goes down, and that actually does help to cool things off quite a bit. Of course, if we had the horrible heat that they're having in the rest of the country, We're going to rethink the whole not having air conditioning thing. At any rate, one of the things I do personally to stay cool is I like to read stories that have winter in them when it's a heat wave. Like, it just helps me feel better in my mind. And not only stories, but sometimes poems. And Arpal has this wonderful poetry book. Let me just reach down here. Oh, like we used to be on live. Here I go. I'm going off mic to get the book. Oh, I've got it. And this is The Many Worlds of Poetry. And when did you get this book, Arpal?
1969.
And where were you when you got this book?
I was in the Republic of Vietnam. And they had this van going around, a sort of library van. And what it does is it says, oh, and you can buy books here. And so I looked at that, and I said, oh, this is nice. I was writing poetry in those days. You know, I did not want to be in the Republic of Vietnam. I did not want to be in the Army. And one of the things that was odd was when you're in the Army, a lot of the time there are things that get discounted for you. This book van thing, I later suspected, was people making money on their own. And it had these books in it, and the books were at full cover price, which was unlike anything else we'd seen. But it's this poetry book, and I'm in this awful place with a lot of awful people. Oh, you know, sergeants and stupid officers. Well, okay, I could do a whole program on how stupid Army officers can be. We aren't going to get into that right now. And, you know, all these annoying people and stuff. And here was a poetry book. And I said, wow, not only is it at full price, are they asking full price, but it's a damned high price for 1969. It was $3.50. Now, in 1969, $3.50, when you're getting not much money at all on a, I might have been still a private first class at that point. Maybe I was a spec four. I don't remember exactly the date that I picked it up. But either way, I was making not a pile of money. And so $3.50 was a very expensive book for me. But it was the only poetry book they had. It was something I could see. And I said, the hell with it. I'm going to buy the book. And I bought it.
And did you read it?
Oh, I went through that thing. And it was good to have. It was good to have. I had other poetry books. I had my parents send me a couple of poetry books from Brooklyn. I still have them. In fact, they're in the room with us right now. And they're like the Golden Treasury type of things, where you get a lot of Shelley and Keats and all the old guys. They're mostly the out of copyright dead authors books, where it's very cheap to produce the book because you don't have to pay anybody royalties. And so I had some of those, and then it was this, and I said, geez, you know, this is new. I've looked at the other stuff a lot. I've never seen this book before, and I got it. So there was that.
And it was new because it was printed in 1969. So yeah, it was a brand new book, The Many Worlds of Poetry. And it has many worlds of poetry in it. It's really good. And I love reading it because it's a really good book, and also because it's yours and because of where and when you got it and under those trying circumstances. But I'd like to read from it just three short little poems about snow. I believe I've read these before, but they're so good. I'll read them again. Okay, and the first one is by Emily Dickinson. I'm assuming you've all heard of her, dear listeners.
Good old M.
M, yes. It sifts from leaden sieves. It sifts from leaden sieves. It powders all the wood. It fills with alabaster wool the wrinkles of the road. It makes an even face of mountain and of plain, unbroken forehead from the east unto the east again. It reaches to the fence. It wraps it rail by rail till it is lost in fleeces. It deals celestial veil to stump and stack and stem. A summer's empty room, acres of joints where harvests were, recordless but for them. It ruffles wrists of posts as ankles of a queen, then stills its artisans like ghosts, denying they have been. Our second poem about snow is by Thomas Hardy. I'm sure you've all heard of him too, I hope. Snow in the Suburbs. Every branch big with it, bent every twig with it, every fork like a white web foot, every street and pavement mute. Some flakes have lost their way and grope back upward when, meeting those meandering down, they turn and descend again. The palings are glued together like a wall, and there is no waft of wind with the fleecy fall. sparrow enters the tree, whereon immediately a snow lump thrice his own slight size descends on him and showers his head and eyes, and overturns him and near inures him, and lights on another twig, when its brush starts off a volley of other lodging lumps with a rush. The steps are a blanched slope, up which, with feeble hope, a black cat comes, wide-eyed and thin, and we take him in. And those are two poems about snow. Oh, snow. Perhaps we'll see snow again.
Well, I'm sure we'll see some snow. You and I will see some snow. I think that it's possible future generations in greater New York may end up never seeing snow in their lives if they stay around here. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Ah, yes, here we are, like hobos on the BAI pitching train, and we're gonna beg you for bucks. Yes, this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and WBAI is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And what we do here is we do not run commercials. What we do is we rely on you, the listeners, to keep this thing going. And we've been having a hard time with that. And, oh boy, we need your help more than ever. We need you to help us out. And how you can become a listener sponsor is this. Call 1-212-209-2950. And when they pick up at the call center, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And a BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership, which means once a month you're going to donate to WBAI. And to make it a regular, painless thing, you tell them, when they say hello to you, you give them your credit card or debit card number, and you tell them how much you want to donate on a monthly basis. It can be $10, $15, $20, more if you can afford it. And when you do that, you also tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged. And that will allow WBAI to have some regular income. Regular income is important because management needs to pay bills. And if today we have a certain amount and tomorrow we got very little, it's very hard to plan when things are up and down drastically. The BAI Buddy Program has helped WBAI by giving management a regular amount of money that it can count on every month. It's not enough, though. Not nearly enough. And we are behind in bills. I've noted before we are behind in our payments of rent to the tower where at 4 Times Square where they have the antenna we use and where they have our transmitter. And we're not supposed to be in arrears that far. If they want to, they can legally just throw a switch. The power will go off on the transmitter and that's it. We're not getting out anymore at all. We have to avoid that, and we need you to get up, go to your phone, or just reach over and grab your phone, and dial 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and that will help everybody out. You know, I've told you before, they are talking about getting rid of these overnight programs. That could happen. You need to, if you're a listener to these overnight programs, and right now what you're listening to is an overnight program, even though the sun, let me look at the clock here. Yeah, I think the sun is coming up as I speak on Saturday morning. And this is an overnight program because it goes between midnight and 6 a.m. And so we could see all of these programs disappear. If you want to see them continue, you got to contribute to them. If WBAI decides to make money by renting out the signal for 6 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're not going to hear these overnight programs, which are different from other kinds of programs. And so, please, we need you to help us out. You help us out by dialing 1-212-209-2950 and saying you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. We got to raise some dough here. We're being told that we need to raise more dough. And I told you before, management is looking for some way to make more money. And certain people make believe they know how to do it instantly. They don't. The thing we need to do right now, the thing in the short term that could save BAI, is for you to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, give the people at the call center your name and all of that, and the credit card or debit card number, how much you want to donate a month. Again, it could be $10, $15, $20 or more a month, and you tell them what day of the month you want to be billed for this. You could also call up, and the same number, 1-212-209-2950, and say you want to make a one-time donation. You can do that. You can make a one-time donation. If you can't afford to be a BAI buddy, but you can give us, like, I don't know, $20 one time, that would work. That would help. If everybody listening would please just call in and make some donation, it would keep WBAI alive. There are elections going on right now, and those of you who have previously donated will be able to vote in these elections. And if we're not so lucky, we're going to run into a lot of rough time. But the deal is, we got to show that we can survive, that we can support ourselves. If we can't, it makes for a rougher time. 1-212-209-2950. We really, really need to hear from you. We got to hear from you right about now. That would be good. 1-212-209-2950. And we keep pitching, and you might say, oh, they don't really need it. We really, really do need it. This is not make-believe. We are in trouble right now. Quite frankly, we are in trouble. If you want to go up to glib.com, go up to glib.com, and on the front page, there's a big set of letters. It says Treasurer's Reports. Click on that. It's a link. Click on that. Read a couple of Treasurer's Reports. I've got over 100 of them up there. Read the, you know, most recent 2 or 3. And you will see that we are in dire straits financially. And the rest of Pacifica is not in good enough shape to help us out. So please, we need your help. We have problems with, we may have the health insurance for the paid staff getting, could be cut off, which would be a very big deal. And other things could be happening. We need you to help us, and you help us by calling 1-212-209-2950, saying you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and give them the credit card information and all that, or call 212-209-2950 anyway and say, I want to make a one-time donation. And if everybody here called in and did that for $20 or $25, that would show up and that would help. All right, I think that's it. One final time, please. 1-212-209-2950. Please call that number now and help keep WBAI alive.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
And during this past few days, Donnie Bonespur Trump has collected two more indictments. Yes, superseding indictments came in on him. And that moron Rudy Giuliani, he has admitted to spewing lies about two Georgia election workers, and he does not contest the allegations against him made in a defamation lawsuit filed by Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, but he says he should not be found liable because the statements, quote, did not carry meaning that is defamatory per se, unquote. He's got to be completely delusional to say that. Really, he's saying these people, first of all, he's saying these people were handing cocaine back and forth to each other. Then he says they had USB flash drives with extra votes for Biden on them, and they were committing federal felonies by adding in votes that didn't happen. I think that's defamatory. And, you know, and he also says his statements were constitutionally protected statements or opinions, unquote. Well, the thing is, there are limits to free speech. And when you tell the world, and he had a bully pulpit for the world, certainly had a bully pulpit for all the MAGA idiots, that these two women are committing crimes and they were stealing the election from Donald Trump, yeah, that screws up their lives. That's defamatory. This moron is a lawyer?
And also, his lie was taken up by number 45, and that put a gigantic target on these women's backs.
Yes. That's one of the really terrible things I remember from the January 6th hearings, was these two women being victimized by these creeps. Ah, I hope they soak Giuliani for every penny his wife didn't already get off him. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku.
We should be back here next week. No guarantee of that. And we hope that we're going to be able to have a little bit of relief. I think there's relief coming this coming week. Take some time to relax. Enjoy the warm but not too warm weather. And above all, remember what that sweating like crazy dormouse said.
WBAI is holding an election to seat listener members like yourself on the local station board. In an effort to make this election financially and environmentally sustainable, we will use primarily electronic ballots. If you are eligible to vote in this election and we do not have your email on file or your email has bounced, you may receive a text message or phone call from election staff with instructions on how to provide us your current email address. E-ballots will hit your inbox on August 15th, and you will have until September 30th to cast your vote. Visit elections.pacifica.org for more information or leave a voicemail on 213-635-9363.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by.
I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Welcome to K-Wave USA, the show that has finally moved to Saturdays at 8 p.m., you know, K-Wave USA, the show that plays nothing but K-pop. Yeah, that's Korean pop music. Like Blackpink, BTS, even Psy's Gangnam Style from back in the day. But it is so much more because it's a music industry from South Korea that actually has its roots based on the American Motown sounds. Plus, also, it's what all the kids are listening to. And it's also family friendly. It's super poppy, super happy. It's basically ear Prozac. Some of the songwriters and composers are American. Shout out to all the Asian American idols. Looking at you, Jesse, who hails from NYC. So come and support the Asian American community. K-Wave USA, we've been on the air for the last 5 years. And now we're finally at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Stand up, stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM, where it's broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks
like you and me to stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long.
Oh, step up.
You know what's right and you know what's wrong.
Rise up.
Don't let the system hold you down.
Stand up. Ooh. Stand up. Ooh. You've been sitting way too long.
Activist Sharon Salam speaks out for WBAI.
We should be moving forward.